Tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York, the Albany Symphony Orchestra will present a program featuring two monumental Russian masterpieces, which we will talk about in just a moment. The evening will also contain a work by the ASO's composer-in-residence, Andrew Norman, entitled Apart, which we will also talk about at length in a moment. Andrew Norman joins us now along with Albany Symphony Orchestra's Grammy Award-winning maestro David Alan Miller. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Joe. It's so nice to be with you. And nice to have Andrew here with us.
Yes, very nice to have you here. So
isn't that beautiful music that Andrew wrote that you just heard as your intro? Oh, that wasn't Andrew's piece. It sounded like Andrew's piece.
Take credit, Andrew. Take credit.
That was lovely.
So let's begin with you, David, and how this collaboration came to be with Andrew, and then we'll talk about the other. Then we'll talk about Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff and all that good stuff.
Actually, our collaboration with Andrew is part of a much larger collaboration. Andrew's part of a composer's consortium called Sleeping Giant, and it's six very
You're a Sleeping Giant.
He's one sixth
the
Sleeping
smallest
Giant.
One, yeah.
Okay. The smallest giant.
All right,
and there's six very handsome young men who all went to the Yale School of Music for graduate school in composition, and they created this group. And so we applied to this wonderful support organization for composers called New Music USA, the Music Alive Residencies, and we're starting a two-year residency with the six of them. So coming up in the winter, in March, I think, we're doing an incredible special reimagining of the Mozart Requiem that they're kind of curating, enhancing, developing, and we'll have all. And they're also doing our Dogs of Desire concert during the festival in May. And we'll be seeing them a lot during the next 2 years. So I'm delighted. Andrew, in addition to being part of Sleeping Giant, has his own, frankly, gigantic career as a young emerging composer. He's a professor at USC, having started there a year ago. But he's being played all over the country and kind of the world by major artists. Manuel Ax just premiered a piano concerto of his with the LA Philharmonic last year. He's an amazing composer, and I really wanted to feature him on this concert with these two slightly more well-known, I guess it's okay to say, composers, Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff, for this incredibly beautiful, life-affirming program. It's the Rachmaninoff Rhapsody in a Theme of Paganini with the great young pianist Joyce Young, who's been with us, but not for a number of years. I think when she was a young teenager, 17 years old, she came and played that piece with us, and she's now in her 20s, and she was a silver medalist in the Tchaikovsky competition. And then finally, the Tchaikovsky final great masterpiece, his greatest masterpiece, the Sixth Symphony, the Pathetique. So a gorgeous, mainly Russian program with a fascinating piece by Andrew to start.
So Andrew, tell us a little bit about Apart and how it came about.
Sure.
Or how it came apart.
About or apart.
I wrote this piece for the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra down in New York, and as some of you may know, that is an orchestra that plays without a conductor.
That's shocking. I'm so distraught.
You're out of a job, my friend.
So I was really interested in sort of, well, how does an orchestra play, and how does an orchestra play without a conductor? How do they play together, and how might they play apart from one another? And the piece actually really explores sort of how I can get an orchestra to sort of play without playing totally together. And in a way, it asks for the orchestra to do a lot of unusual things. Like, normally we think of an orchestra as the conductor gives a downbeat and everyone starts to play, you know, according to the beat given by that conductor. But this is a piece where, in a lot of ways, people play to their own beats. And there's a sort of not a traditional sense of coordination, which was something that I really wanted to explore in this piece.
And just to, it's a beautiful sounding piece. That's what's so amazing about it. He does these very kind of conceptual things, and yet it sounds gorgeous. What he basically asks the orchestra to do for much of it is to, every player in the string section, for example, is supposed to play just a moment behind the person in front of them. So they're all playing the same line, but they're playing it with a slight delay, so it creates this incredible wash of these beautiful melodies. And it's kind of a funny thing for the musicians. It's very disorienting because, of course, as Andrew said, we spent our whole lives working on being together. And in this piece, in most of the places, he's asking us to be ever so slightly apart to create this wonderful wash sound, almost an impressionistic kind of sound.
And you say, Andrew, that this piece will never sound the same way twice.
Yes, I do. You know, I'm very interested in sort of the human aspect of music playing, and especially in orchestra, and the idea that every performance of a piece could be very, very different. Otherwise, why would we even bother to go see an orchestra, because we have the recordings of it? So the idea is, with this piece, I ask the performers to make certain small choices in how they come in and when they come in and how they play, which are going to be different at every single performance, so that when you multiply that out by every single performer making all these tiny little choices, you get a performance from one to the next that is entirely different. And that to me is like, it goes to the heart and the specialness of live performance, that like you, whoever goes to this concert, will only hear this piece this way tomorrow night. And if you were to ever hear it again, it would sound completely different.
So how much is on you and how much is on the performer?
Ah, that's an excellent question.
That's the big question, the money question.
I feel like in my work, a lot of which explores this idea of the performer's choice, there is a line, and I'm constantly exploring how much do I control and how much do they. And, you know, all of notated music is like this. You know, when we play a piece by Bach or Beethoven or Mozart, we are making choices about how to perform that. And in my music, I just try to amplify those choices just a little bit and say, yes, you were deciding things about articulation and maybe tempo, and here in mine you decide about placement and volume and...
But it's more on his end as conductor than it is on the individual.
Oh no, I have
musician.
No role in this piece at all.
That's what I'm saying. Like typically it would be on your role and not on the individual musician.
Yes, and I'm interested in this kind of like idea of collective choice making or individual choice making. So that like if to me it's like you know this idea of butterfly flaps its wings and then across the world there's a tidal wave, and that to me is interesting. That one. This is a piece about every member of that string section making a tiny little choice, making a little butterfly flap choice that, given the totality of the piece, makes a gigantic difference.
And once musicians get past, the instrumentalists in the orchestra, get past the sort of fear and disorientation of having been given all this freedom after they've been working their whole lives to not really be so much in orchestra about individual freedom, it's very liberating. And actually, in a way, I would say Andrew, particularly in this piece, has given the musicians an incredibly strong, important role, so that every single member has very important, unique contributions to make in a way that sometimes in a more regimented performance, they might not. You know, a member of the violin section often feels a little bit, sometimes feels a little bit anonymous, and that's hopefully the conductor's challenge. And if a conductor's really inspirational, he or she can make every member of every larger section feel empowered and feel important, but that can be a hard struggle sometimes.
So are you on stage during this?
I am on stage, and I actually conduct through most of it. There are a couple of really free passages where I stop, and it's all coordinated by, you know, certain players set off other players.
Okay.
But for most of it, I'm beating time, and it's a sort of mixed meter, different, the tempo, the pulse changes, and that's really just to keep the people in front with me as the people behind them are a little bit behind. But I don't want to make it sound too conceptual, because on the one hand, it's very conceptual. On the other hand, while yes, every performance sounds different, it's still this piece, and it sounds like this piece, and it's beautiful. It's incredibly beautiful music. And that's what's sort of a tribute to Andrew, that he can give them that much freedom and still have the piece be the piece.
And you still have something to do.
Yeah, but it's a little tangential.
You could be doing jello shots over to Leary's.
That's what I'm thinking. I should just come in late. Yeah, but
yeah.
No, I'm helping, but I'm not doing quite the great inspirational maestro with a capital M role that I am supposedly called on to do, in particularly in the Tchaikovsky Symphony. Very different role.
So we'll get to those in just a second. And Andrew, so when all of this is going on, what is your part, in the sense of what are you looking for?
What am I looking as the composer?
Yes.
You know, I'm looking for a piece that sort of works. And you know, when I write open-ended notation, as I would call this sort of open-ended notation, it is largely about sort of me trying to facilitate a sort of group happening that is a piece of music.
Yeah.
And as we are forming the piece in rehearsal, I take a somewhat limited role, in that, like, I feel like I have a pretty open mind about there are many different ways that this piece could work. Let's just find one of them and have it sort of work in that way. And so largely for me, it's not about, oh, you guys are playing too loud here, you're playing too soft here. It's about, did this experience, did it sort of cohere and make something? And if it didn't, then let's maybe work a little bit to find a way that it could cohere better. So I know that sounds a little vague, but I'm interested. It's not a very traditional role of the composer being like, you played a wrong note. As I told the people last night, there is no wrong in this piece. There might be better or worse, but there's no wrong in terms of the decisions
but,
you make.
But what it means is it's a more collaborative thing. If you'd seen our first rehearsal yesterday, it was really Andrew on stage with me sort of explaining the notation and then letting the musicians kind of figure it out. And I would say, not to minimize what Andrew's saying about freedom and individuality and the different performances of it being different, when you think of chance or aleatoric, as it's called, music, you know, which is where a composer will put a bunch of notes, but not necessarily in an order or in a box with a lot of freedom, Lutosławski, the great Polish composer, is a good example of that. And he uses those kinds of things a lot, which Andrew uses often in this piece. And what I always find so striking about it is that the piece comes out remarkably similar each time, not that different. Here he's giving people all this freedom, yet at the same time, as the composer, he is very much structuring it. So I don't want you to have the impression that this is just a hippy-dippy happening where everybody plays what they want, we all feel good, and it's kumbaya, but it's really organized, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, but it does afford individual players a sort of chamber music-type freedom, which is what's so magical about it, I think.
Go ahead, yes.
I was just going to say one more thing, which... Might segue into the Tchaikovsky, which I think that actually David did a remarkable job in programming this concert. Sort of my piece opens the concert.
He's good at that.
Yeah, he really is. My piece opens the concert and Tchaikovsky ends. Tchaikovsky is, you know, the Sixth Symphony is in B minor, a very, very dark key. And my piece also happens to be in B minor as well. And my piece opens with this single B, which kind of acts as we call it, a pedal tone, mm-hmm. where it's a note that just sort of sustains all the way through and various other voices kind of push and pull against that.
So a bass line, if you will.
Yes. Well, it's in my piece, it's stuck right in the middle.
It's like an anchor.
Yeah. An anchor.
And then it's sort of like a magnetic pull. And the Tchaikovsky also uses a B in the exact same way. In fact, the whole piece ends with this long B underneath the whole orchestra and everyone's kind of moving in and around it. So... When I heard the rehearsal last night, I was like, oh my gosh, this concert is going to be so like beautifully bookended by B, and this
very
idea
happy music in between.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of happy music in between. But and my piece also there's some moments in the Tchaikovsky which are very personal and very dark, and particularly in the last movement. And I think there's actually something in the way that Tchaikovsky uses his phrases and his sort of sighing figures, which actually finds its way into my piece. And I didn't even sort of realize this until I heard them next to each other last night, mm-hmm. That there's a very similar, you know, I would, as a young person, almost use the word emo, which... you know, it's a kind of pop music or whatever, but like that kind of very emotional, slightly dark quality, which it tinges both of these works.
So, and of course, that's what you were going for.
Absolutely. The whole time. Uh-huh. So, let me say, tell me, ask me, because you're such a great question asker.
We have limited time.
I know, we're running out. I want you to
then bring us to the other two pieces and tell how all of this comes together.
Well, the Tchaikovsky is one of the great world masterpieces up there with Beethoven's Eroica and with Symphonie Fantastique and the Mozart symphonies and all. To me, it's one of the greatest works. And of course, it's his last work that he wrote shortly before his death, and he died in mysterious circumstances, possibly a suicide. And it's hard to hear this piece without hearing it as a life and death piece. It's so beautiful. It's so life-affirming, and yet it ends with darkness and sadness. The Rachmaninoff's last orchestra piano piece, and really a devilish, demonic, fabulous set of 24 variations on Paganini's 24th Caprice, almost like a picture of Paganini and his life. So great romantic masterpieces, beautiful life-affirming program at this moment with Ebola, with ISIS, with all the terrible stuff in the world. It's a great chance for everybody to come together tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Palace and really do something life-affirming and about truth and beauty, just something incredibly fabulous. We still have full 8 concert subscriptions available till tomorrow night, and then we'll have 7 concert and 6 and 5 and 4 and 3 concert subscriptions, etc. So I hope everybody who hasn't subscribed will subscribe. We also have, speaking of emo, we have a great new student discount program. So if there are any students listening, I hope they'll consider coming down and hearing our concerts for an incredibly little amount of money.
The Albany Symphony Orchestra will be presenting Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky and, of course, Andrew Norman's Apart tomorrow night at the Palace Theater in Albany at 7:30. You can find out more information by going to albanysymphony.com, albanysymphony.com. Andrew, a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for coming in, and best of luck to you on this and all the future work as well.
Thanks. Thanks for having
Congratulations.
Me.
Congratulations. Thank you. David, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you the next time around.
Pleasure is mine, Joe.
a great performance. Thank you very much. Again, Andrew Norman and David Allen Miller. You can find out more by going to albanysymphony.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.